Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world, and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. If this is your first time, please make yourself comfortable as we bring you Answers for the Family. Each week, this show will address issues such as family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. Having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I am grateful to have met and worked with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you all can do me a big favor. Please check out some of our past shows at AnswersForTheFamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests, as well as some dynamic co-hosts, discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or someone that you know who can benefit from a particular show. I want you to know that I truly appreciate it, and this is just another way that we together can make a positive difference in the lives of others. And I can tell you something else. This is a show that you're going to know somebody, if not yourself, that can learn a lot from this show. So I want to bring on my guest co-hosts, and today they are Lee and Ellen Wheeler, who have been married for over 30 years with 5 grown children and 2 grandchildren, a choice that I thought was perfect for the topic today. Not only have they raised a family together, but they're both entrepreneurs and have run multiple businesses together, including 2 fitness centers for 16 years. Now, they're executives in an e-commerce business, which has expanded into an industry that is expected to have massive growth over the next 5 years, and that is the identity theft protection industry. It's an industry that, through my investigation company, I'm seeing a much greater need for these days. So, Lee, Ellen, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us on the radio show today, Ellen. We're super excited. This is our second time doing this with you, and we appreciate you inviting us to participate on this. And I know it's going to be a great radio show today. And I just want to acknowledge that I think you're doing a great thing. Answers for the Family is really, truly, you're helping people. And I think it's great that you can reach many, many people anywhere, right?
Yeah. And to me, I mean, I'm thankful because I get to learn from everybody. And I feel like, you know, I'm a sponge. I think I've probably gained more than anybody else because, you know, somebody might miss a show. I don't miss one. I'm listening all the time, and I'm getting the information from great guests and great co-hosts. So I'm very thankful for it. So, well, before we bring on our guest, share a little bit about what's new in your lives, both personally and professionally.
Actually, there's a lot of new things going on, a lot of changes for us. You know, we actually met in high school, and so we've been together quite a few years now. Recently, though, last September a year ago, we had a daughter get married. We also, this last July, we had a son get married. So we now have 4 of our kids married, and 4 of them in the Northwest, 1 of them in California. We have, you know, 2 grandkids. So just loving how our family is blossoming and how we have these, you know, in-laws coming in. And so it's been a huge blessing. But also it's kind of full cycle here because now Lee and I, we're like no kids around anymore. We've got the empty nest we're adjusting to and learning to navigate, which has been really cool. And we get to spend a lot of time together. So it's been really fun, actually, a neat new season.
And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I felt you guys would be so perfect for this, because you've lived every stage that many people out there that are they might just be forming a family. You know, what is it in that next stage? You know, the next stage of raising small children, or the stage when they get to be teenagers and some pull out our hair, or whatever it might be. So you guys have gone through all of them, and I think there's a lot of wisdom that comes with that.
Right. Some of those steps we've gone through, sometimes you want to avoid those steps. One of those is that we got divorced at a young age and then remarried again 3 years later. So in the beginning, we had 3 kids. And we know what it's like to be single parents for 3 years with just 3 kids. And then we got remarried and had 2 more. And that was over 27 years ago that that happened. So we've had a lot of things that we've grown through, and it's just continuing to grow. That's what's been great. We're super excited about the future and what we're doing with our company now. The e-commerce company's done great things for us, but we just launched a new product. It's called ID Seal, and it's identity theft, which a lot of people may think or may not know what it is, but it's a huge industry that only about 15% of the people in the United States currently have the type of protection that they need. And this, unfortunately, is going to be a growing industry because we have to protect ourselves. And you see all these breaches that are going on with Capital One or any company gets held ransomware, those types of things. These are true, honest things, and we have to protect ourselves. And so they're saying this industry, everybody's going to have this type of insurance in the next 4 or 5 years. And if somebody would like to get some more information from that, they can get a hold of me two ways. Go to my email, which is leewheeler24@hotmail.com. So LeeWheeler24 at hotmail.com. Or if you want to shoot me a text, 714-465-0096, and I'd be able to respond back and get you some information. But it's a huge market. We really hope it, people will respond and get in touch with us, because it not only can protect yourself, but protection on your family, because there's cyberbullying, there's all kinds of Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, Snapchat and all these things that our kids are involved with. It actually will let parents know what their kids are involved with. It kind of gives them a warning so they can stay in touch with what their kids are doing too. So huge, huge opportunity.
Yeah, and as I said, it's something that I'm seeing more and more with our investigation company, because we're getting families that are contacting us saying that their 14-year-old daughter has run away, but she was in contact with some guy, you know, through one of those social media groups, and that's the last they heard. And so we're now having to go out and find them, and sometimes these are predators that are looking for them. So mm-hmm. everything from that to, in fact, I just got something sent to me that had to do with Equifax, and it said that they had a breach of literally like 100 million files that somebody got access to, and so it had to do with a class action suit, asking, you know, if I want to be a part of the class action suit, did I get harmed, you know, and so on and so forth. But, you know, that's somebody like Equifax, that's all of your information. They have mm-hmm. everything.
Yep.
So it's a scary thing out
it
there.
It is, and that I recommend everybody go to Equifax and look that up, because most people will get a refund back. I think it's $125 or $150 they can get back just by applying on there. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, go do that now after the show.
Yes, yeah, definitely after the show. Stay with us. So I know that many of you chose to tune in now because of the particular topic, which is a great one, and especially with a lot of the anxiety that is going on out there. You know, and as far as with television, there's so much anxiety and how much stress that puts on a relationship. I don't think anybody's really measured, but you know, we certainly see that, you know, there's a lot on a lot of people mm-hmm. out there trying to make things work, in especially in our country right now. So anyway, our topic today is smart steps to save, sustain, and strengthen your relationship. So our guest, Roberta Shaler, PhD, she's also known as the Relationship Help Doctor, provides urgent and ongoing care for relationships in crisis. Her mission is to provide the insights, information, and inspiration for clients and audiences to know why and how to transform relationships with themselves and with others to be honest, respectful, and safe in all ways. Even the United States Marines have sought her help. So, I mean, come on. So what Dr. Shaler does is she empowers the partners, executives, adult children, and coworkers of the relentlessly difficult, toxic people she calls, and it's interesting, she has this word registered, hijackals, so which I love. But, you know, to recognize emotional abuse, realize the effects, heal, and then transform. She helps them see clearly, stop the crazy making, and save their sanity. And she's widely published and the author of 16 books, including Escaping the Hijackal Trap, and Stop, That's Crazy Making. She hosts two popular podcasts, Transforming Relationship with Emotional Savvy and Save Your Sanity, Help for Toxic Relationships. Her YouTube channel, For Relationship Help, has reached over 270,000 views. Dr. Shaler, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so glad that you could join us. We get questions and stuff that come in. The idea of a show called Answers for the Family is we realize that if you're not strengthening relationships, you're not doing your family justice. And I love the fact that your book goes into not just relationships as people would think as the husband and wife, but our relationship with our adult children. You know, the relationships that we have that really is a part of every part of our life. So I really want to thank you for taking the time to write the book, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. But before we go too much, share a little bit about, why write a book, which, by the way, for those out there, which is called Kaizen for Couples, Smart Steps to Save, Sustain, and Strengthen Your Relationship.
Well, I wrote the book because so many of my clients, and I have clients worldwide because I work through video conferencing, were saying, you teach us so many things. Could you write them all down somewhere? And so I thought, all right, I'll write a book that I can give to people worldwide, but also to my clients and say, okay, here's the basis. Here are some things that you can do. Here are some things you can revisit. You can relearn. You can try out. You can from and grow with. And so that's why I wrote the book.
Okay. So, what are some of the major issues that most couples find difficult to resolve on their own that they end up calling you to begin with?
Well, first of all, we live in a world that sometimes everybody wants whatever they want, and they want it now or yesterday. And when we're in a relationship, it's a long-term proposition of growth. And I always laugh, Ellen, when people come into the office and they say, or where they used to come into the office, now they come on video, but, and they say, well, he or she is not the person I married, and I applaud. And they get very, very, very disturbed by that, because why am I applauding? Well, hopefully we grew. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we changed. Hopefully we stayed up to date with each other. Hopefully we were curious and interested in our partner and the learning and the growing and the stepping forward and the coming along and all of that. So one of the major issues is, of course, we don't keep up with each other's growth, or we don't grow personally. So that's a big thing. And then we don't have tolerance or curiosity about our partner and their growth. So when we have an issue, instead of becoming curious about, let's us sit together and figure out the issue, we get into blaming each other for the issue. And that's not a good approach. We really need to understand that, hey, we're a team. We can do something together. We have the communication and conflict management skills to actually sit down and figure out the issue and not be at each other.
You know, as you were saying that, and I was thinking about what Lee and Ellen shared with us a little bit. You guys obviously got married very, very young. Mm-hmm. Is the communication she's talking about what it took for you guys to realize that you needed to mature and communicate a little better to realize what was really important?
Well, Ellen was really the one that had the issue.
So. Oh, how many times do I hear that?
Not really. I'll let you answer that.
Well, I think back, that was a long time ago, and I think back how young we really were and how we did not have anything equipping us. We were just totally winging it, and we didn't do it well. So, 7 years into it, we found ourselves completely falling apart. What I felt like is that he just didn't love me. And so I felt like, and I was young enough at that time, I thought, I guess he doesn't love me. So I guess I need to go somewhere else. And so, sadly, we chose divorce. And that was, I think we could have worked through it had we had the right help, the right mm-hmm. tools, things like this. We didn't know what we were doing. and it just fell apart.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Roberta, what are some of the things that have changed? They're talking about 27 years ago. What are some of the things that have changed that you've seen now and the way in which people communicate today?
Well, some of them are great and some of them are not so great. So I'll talk about the great ones first. And that is that we have a little more interest. We have a little more willingness to get the ability to have a great relationship. And that's a big deal, because if we're not willing to work with our partner to grow and learn and evaluate and move forward, then we're going to get stuck in a push-pull. Who's going to win? Who's going to get their needs met? Who's going to lose? And we don't ever want to be in that situation. So currently, some people are more immediately going to get some help. You know, the Gottman Institute, they did some research and they showed that, interestingly for Ellen and Lee, that people have a problem for usually 6 years before they get help. Mm-hmm. Well, we need to speed that process up. Sure. We need to realize that getting help is not a weakness, it's a strength. And so we go and we get help when our car breaks down or we need identity theft insurance or we need something. We go and get some help. Well, why wouldn't we do that with our relationship? So younger people are who have that turn of mind are going and saying, hey, we need help. We don't know how to do this. Because think about it. You know, two people come into a relationship, they come from very different families, maybe with different values, vision for life, beliefs, sense of how this is all supposed to work, and then they don't talk to each other well, so how can you possibly solve problems? So a major opportunity that I'm seeing is people coming in earlier and saying we need help. Also, the downside is that people are a little more concerned about getting than giving right now, and we have to turn that around.
So from the standpoint of and I'm thinking more of someone in, I'll say our generation, how do you handle a situation to where one person is much more open to the idea of getting help and the other one is pretty much shut down?
Well, that's a great question, because it happens a lot. And the person who's shut down is unfortunate. That could be for many reasons. Maybe they don't have the willingness. Maybe they're afraid. Maybe they're concerned about exposing themselves. But what happens in that situation is that I work with the person who is willing to see what is actually going on in the relationship. What can they try? What strategies have they tried? What could they try? How can they calibrate whether or not this relationship actually has growth potential? Because just because you made a vow on some particular day when you and your partner were in some particular emotional state does not mean that that stayed the same or that that actually was accurate. When we're in the honeymoon stage and the wedding days, if you like, we're in a different emotional state than in the problem-solving phase.
Oh, that's right. Roberta, I have a question on that, kind of that topic, too. Is it seems like when people aren't getting their expectations met in a marriage and that the commitment level is not there. And I read some of your Kaizen for Couples, and I like the part about, you know, the hokey pokey. Can you explain that a little bit? Because I think it's so true.
Yeah, and I think it's a problem that is greater these days than it was earlier. And the hokey pokey relationship, that's my thing. And that's what happens when you have one foot in and one foot out. And that's what it's all about. So you get into the relationship with the idea in the back of your mind and probably supported by some friends and family. Well, if it doesn't work out, you can get a divorce. That's a really bad way to start a relationship. I mean, it may be accurate, it may be true, but emotionally, is that what you want to do? You've got one foot out already saying, well, if I don't get what I want, if my needs aren't met, if it doesn't work out, well, I'll just go elsewhere. That doesn't lead to a long-term, fascinating, enriching, emotionally intimate journey with another human. And that's got to be the most exciting journey, in my opinion, that we can go on. But you have to have somebody who's willing to hold your hand and go on that journey with you. And if they are a hokey pokey person, that's not going to happen.
Right. Now, I'm guessing you probably have to explain exactly what the hokey pokey is to some of your younger clients. Because I get it. As soon as you said that, I'm like, yeah, I get it. So maybe when the show's over, we'll all get up and do the hokey pokey here so that some of the millennials will know what we're talking about.
Okay. Right. Well, it is something that I have to explain, Alan, because if you come into it with maybe a little more self-centered interest than is healthy. I'm here to get what I want. You're here to make me happy. That's never going to be a good recipe for a healthy, emotionally intimate relationship. Each one of us is responsible for our own happiness. And then the way that we collaborate together, the curiosity that we have, the honesty, the safety, the trust, the respect, the reliability that we demonstrate that's within ourselves and within each other, those are very important things. And if someone's just sitting back saying, well, you were supposed to make me happy, you were supposed to give me what I needed, the things that I didn't have in my life from my childhood, you were supposed to fill in the blanks, and you're not doing that, so I'm not happy with you. Well, that's a ticket to nowhere good. So, yes, I do have to explain what it means to not be fully in, fully committed, fully on board, fully willing.
I remember those feelings, Roberta, way back when I felt like my expectations had not been my marriage and it was falling apart. And I think I had the wrong vision of marriage as being, you know, this perfect thing. If you got, you know, together with the right person, it should be pretty much, you know, 90-something percent of the time perfect, you know. And so when it was falling apart like that, I just thought, oh, this is a mistake. And I look back now and I feel like as we're kind of talking and some of what your book was saying is it's if you choose to, this is going to grow you emotionally to more mature emotionally rather than staying stuck in what I want, my demands, me, that, you know, you're going to be able to grow in a partnership and really grow in maturity. And for me, it took me a little while to start, instead of looking at the things that bothered me about my husband, I started to look at the things I appreciated about him. And if I focused on those and really started to think, wow, you know, it made me really love my husband and appreciate him for who he was.
Very wise. Yes.
And, you know, which I think that brings up a great point from the standpoint of an I message versus a we message. And I feel that as I've become more mature, that's one of the things I've recognized. I can go into a meeting and I'll listen to everyone speak. And let's say it's like a school district meeting or something like that. And as I hear the different people speak, it might be 10 people at the table, I start forming some thoughts in regards to those that speak with an I message about everything versus those that speak with a we message, because to me, we're all here trying to make a decision on what's best for, say, a particular child or something. So if we are trying to do this, then it becomes a we message. And I find myself almost, my brain is kind of drifting off to where I'm thinking, wow, I'll bet that's tough on their relationship because everything they say is an I message. Do you find that? And as being something that you pick on when you're working with them?
Oh, absolutely. Because there are, of course, you know, you mentioned in the introduction, Alan, that I specifically help people who are in relationship with difficult people. And many of those live from some mythical website called allaboutme.com. So they're only interested in what they can get. And they're not interested, as I said earlier, in what they can give. So the people who are, but I want this and I want that, and this is not living up to my expectations. And, you know, why are you not meeting my needs? And that focus is going to be a disaster for a relationship moving toward each other. Because as I tell my clients all the time, you are either moving toward each other or moving away from each other at every minute in every interaction. And you're in charge of which direction you're going. So pay attention. Pay attention to what you're saying. Pay attention. Is this contributing to the relationship? Am I demonstrating interest in my partner and in the relationship, the we-ness of the relationship? Or am I just saying, what's in it for me? And if I am only in that state, and there has to be balance, of course, but if I'm only in that state, and many people are entitled right now, mm-hmm. they think that, oh, yes, well, you know, meet my needs. It's all about me.com. And so they're not willing to contribute. They're not willing to engage. They're not willing to listen well. They're not willing to be curious about their partner. And so we're going to have a stalemate, and there is going to be shutdown.
Yep. You know, the hokey pokey is kind of like what I like to look at. Also, Roberta, is kind of like a contract. A lot of people go into a marriage and they treat it like a contract, which means if you do this, I do this. If you do this, I do this. Or kind of like when you hire an electrician to work on your house or something. If you do the job, then I'm going to pay you. But what I found with our relationship is that it's always... you may be doing the job, but you don't always get paid, and you just continue doing the job, and you keep going through that. That's how I kind of look at it sometimes, and it's more of a covenant as opposed to a contract in my viewpoint.
Well, it's a continuous choice, isn't it, Lee?
Yes.
I mean, you're going to continuously choose your partner, choose the relationship. Like, what do I do that contributes to the relationship? That's what I get up in the morning to do, to make that contribution. And if I get up in the morning to say, okay, I'm feeling this way. How are you feeling? And we have an open communication and we can talk about that without somebody withdrawing and getting defensive and saying, well, are you saying I'm a... mm-hmm. But lean in and be interested in what the other person is saying and ask a question. Like, when did you first notice that? Or how long has that been going on? Or do you know where that came from? And we become curious and interested in the conversation, therefore curious and interested in our partner. Then we are going to build something because we're adding to that repository of information we have about each other. But if I withdraw and just say, hey, I'm here to get my needs met and you're not doing a very good job of that, and if you don't do a better job, I'm out of here, we're not going to get anywhere. So your analogy to the contract, yes, in terms of engaging a service person, mm-hmm. but in the sense of making a covenant and making a vow together, a shared vision of a future that you have talked about and you have defined and you didn't rush into it. And maybe you got some help before you made this decision and you talked about the tough things and you got some skills. And if you didn't, then come on along and I'll help you with all of that.
You know, I think that's a great point. And so what advice would you give specifically to those that struggle with either not feeling that they're not being heard or they're not being appreciated or that they're just not being accepted as an equal in the relationship?
Well, that's a huge issue. And the first thing is to find if there's any willingness on the part of the other person to talk about these things, to actually talk about feelings, or do they close down or become defensive or walk away? Because you may be with a person who is difficult. You may be with a toxic person who is only interested in having their own needs met, and you become an annoyance when you show up and you have a question or you have a desire or a need to get more information or to feel accepted or acknowledged or seen and heard. You just become an annoyance to them. And so you have to be able to calibrate that. So my advice in that situation is take a step back, maybe get some help. Sometimes I work with people who say, I just need to get clarity. I'm too close to all this to see what's really going on. Let me tell you what's going on and you tell me what you see. And that can be very, very helpful. Because when you're in a difficult relationship, you get worn down, torn down, and put down. And when that's happening, you start to doubt yourself. You start to second guess yourself. And sometimes you need some help to get perspective.
The book is called Kaizen for Couples, Smart Steps to Save, Sustain, and Strengthen Your Relationship. We're going to take a break. We will be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. My co-hosts are Lee and Ellen Wheeler, and our guest is Roberta Shaler, and the book is Kaizen for Couples, Smart Steps to Save, Sustain, and Strengthen Your Relationship.
Roberta, I have a question for you. I am curious as to when and how you grew this passion to help relationships to thrive.
Oh, well, that's a great question, Ellen. I was raised in a family of hijackals. So I was raised with toxic, difficult people, and I'm an only child. And I was going into medicine. And when I started to realize, well, I had a small child and medicine was going to be a difficult road for the child, I decided that I would shift and get my PhD in psychology so that I could help people in conflict, because that had been my experience through my life. And when I went to get help and I talked about the way that my parents were in the community, and I was from a small town, hijackals paint a public picture of perfection, and at home they create a private place of pain. So when I went to say, well, my parents behave this way, the therapist, counselor, mental health professional said, oh, I know your parents. They're wonderful. Well, they weren't. Mm-hmm. They looked wonderful out there, but they were hell on wheels at home. And so as I moved into helping people recognize conflict, know how to do something with conflict, I worked not only in my private practice, but also I was a speaker. I was on the road a lot helping people with conflict in organizations and on teams. And then I realized I think I better make my legacy about specifically helping people who have experienced a parent, a partner, or an ex who has created this relentlessly difficult, toxic environment, and help them recognize how that has impacted or is impacting their current relationship. So that's the way I came to it. I came to it because there wasn't help for me, and I wanted to make sure there was always help for others.
We have a listener question that has come in. Again, I want to thank those listeners that take the time, especially those that say that they work during the day, so they send these in usually the night before. So we want to take the time to ask their question, and many of them say that they listen later on after work, either through iTunes or Stitcher or however they get their podcast. So this one reads, my husband and I married just out of high school. Together for 30 years, his attitude is now one where he and I, he thinks that I am little more than a housekeeper. He spends all of his extra time playing golf or watching sports, and nothing I try to do to interest him outside this is met with anything but the statement, get one of your girlfriends to join you, unquote. So, physically, again, I am a convenience. I've asked him to go to counseling with me, and he just rolls his eyes and laughs at me. I'm not even 50 years old, and I feel like bolting or running you know, as I believe I deserve and could have a loving relationship. But he just isn't going to give this to me. I am sure you hear this story all the time. What advice would you give to women in my position?
Well, one really important word that you need to pay a lot of attention to are boundaries. You know, some of us have very porous, malleable boundaries, and this man needs to hear that, hey, this is not all right with me. There's no way that this is all right with me. And I am going to explore getting some help to get very clear about what I really want, because you will not go and explore this with me. You're welcome to come if you'd like to, but I am going to get that help. And then for you, you want to find out what your values are, your vision for your life, your beliefs, and your, then we can work on your next best steps, because a person who has no interest in you sees you as a convenience, sees you as someone to do whatever you do for him, but doesn't see you as a human growing with needs and wants and joys and feelings and thoughts. That's not a relationship. And as you use the word convenience, who wants to be somebody's convenience? So you need to have some boundaries to say, hey, you know, that's not okay. For these reasons, I'm happy to work with you. I'd love to do that. That would be my preference. But this is not okay with me, and this is not going to be my life. So you need to know where your boundaries lie, how to express them. Start with small ones. Boundaries are non-negotiable. When you say, this is all right with me, this is not all right with me, and here's what will happen if we continue doing what's not all right with me, you have to express them in a way that says, this is non-negotiable. And sometimes when we've been in a relationship for 30 years, things have slid. It sounds like things have slowly slid for you and into accepting less than is appropriate. And so you need to shore up some boundaries. Start with small ones. Don't make the first one, if you don't go to counseling with me, I'm leaving. Don't do that. but practice, you know, learn about yourself. What's integral to every relationship is that you need to be the person who has the attributes that you want in the relationship. So sometimes you need to do your own work before you ever think about what you're going to do about the relationship. Catch up with yourself. After 30 years, you might have lost yourself a little bit along the way, and you maybe want to catch up. Who am I now? What do I value? What's my vision for my life? And how does what's going on in my life right now express what it is that I would like to carry on with?
I was reading Kaizen for Couples, a little part of it, and I don't know if you want to touch on this, but I really liked how you're focusing on ourselves, you know, it's kind of starting on ourselves and asking some good questions. And there's the PWR, right? The personal weather report. So mm-hmm. I thought that was neat. Maybe that's giving too much, but I like that you're, you know, kind of starting with, you know, kind of thinking about ourselves and where we're at and who we are and taking it time to just evaluate, right?
Mm-hmm. Always do your own work first. I mean, it's so easy to say my partner, blah. But first of all, know you, know yourself. You know, sometimes people will say to me, well, how do I respond to this person? This person is doing all of this. What should I do? And my response is, who are you? And they say, what do you mean? And I said, well, what kind of a person are you? If you're living from your values, what would you do that you would be able to say, I have no regrets for having done that? And if we actually know ourselves very well, we've got that down cold. We can answer that question. And that's a great starting place for then saying, okay, now I'm caught up with myself. I know something about who I am at this stage in this moment in my life. And I know something about my boundaries. I know what's okay with me. I know how to express it. And yes, you know, the second most important thing that I can teach anyone is the personal weather report. And that's a big piece of the book, because if you know how to give a personal weather report, then you know that you have the right to take up space and draw breath. And with that right comes the right to express what you think, feel, need, and want, as long as you do not mention another human by name or pronoun.
I like it.
So I think a question that some people out there might be thinking is, what percentage of your clients would you say, if they start out coming to see you alone or are reaching you via the internet, but they're starting out alone and they're talking about themselves and saying, look, I'm asking my spouse for us to do this together, but they seem to be resistant right now. What percentage of that, once you've started working with one, where the other one either starts to see the changes in the other person or something starts to happen to the point that they go, you know what, I think I need to join you with that?
I have two distinct pieces to my practice, Alan, so let me answer it from both those places. Okay. One is that couples come in the variety that says, I really want this to work. What do I need to learn? And in that situation, as one person learns and maybe develops some sense of strength and some clarity and ability to communicate their needs and wants and thoughts and feelings, the other person comes on and says, I think this seems safe. I will join you in that. The other part of my work are the people who are in the relationship with a toxic, difficult person, and they are, as I said earlier, put down, worn down, torn down, exhausted, and they're grasping and saying, what's going on? What do I do? So in the first instance, many times the couple will end up coming together in very short order. In the other situation, usually the couple comes together in the beginning because the hijackal partner or supposed hijackal partner is not going to allow that to happen without them knowing what's going on. So they come in and they're, when you have a hijackal partner, they will go and get some help with you briefly because their intent is to manipulate the mental health professional into believing their side of the story and joining with them, seducing them into joining with them to rewound you. And that happens too frequently. That's why I have such a large practice, because too many people have not been seen when they went to a mental health professional. But on the other side of the practice, couples who really genuinely love each other but are miscommunicating or not communicating or don't know what to do, we then get into the safety aspects of, hey, we could do this much better together. Will you join me? Here's what I'm learning. You share the learning. The other person says, I think that's helpful. They read the book together. In my Kaizen for Couples private program, where I work with couples, they get a couple copies of the book. We do exercises. We do things together. And then they grow and they're very, very happy. So in terms of percentages, it's about 50-50 in both cases, whether people come alone or together.
You know, when Ellen and I, Roberta, when we were going through our issues at our young age, I didn't want to, you know, the word divorce came up, and, you know, I always like to think that the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence, the grass is greener where you water it. And, you know, Ellen and I went through this process where I finally got to a point where I had to evaluate all the things that I was causing issues in the relationship, because I did a lot of things wrong to cause it in the beginning. So I actually wrote Ellen a big letter during that time and asked her to forgive me for everything I had done. Anything I could remember that I thought that I did wrong in the relationship, I wrote it down in a letter, asked for forgiveness, which was one thing that I could do. And whether that person, in this case Ellen, forgave me, that was up to her. But that was what I did, and it really seemed to help, because our relationship was far apart. Ellen will tell you, she did not like me at all. The pain in her heart was so hard that she told one girlfriend that if you lined up all the men in the world, I would be at the end of the line. And so it was very difficult. But that was a starting process. And also reconciling to a friendship in the beginning, especially after divorce, was a huge thing. And if that's all it came to, become a relationship of friendship, because at that time we had three kids, that was a huge step. And that maybe that's as far as it went in the relationship. But that allowed another step to happen after that, which was great.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big thing that you did, Alan, Lee, rather, is that when you wrote that letter to Ellen, what you were showing her was your self-knowledge. And that's the big step, to show yourself awareness, like, I know I'm not so great at this. I know I did this that hurt you, and be as specific as possible. And when you demonstrate that to your partner then has a moment when they can go, oh, I didn't know you took responsibility for that. I didn't know you even saw that. And that's a big opening. So that was a very smart thing to do, Lee, and apparently it worked.
You know, the word Kaizen, I might have it a little bit wrong, but it sounded like steps for good or something, right? So, and that's kind of, we have really an incredible story of reconciliation. And I mean, I have to give credit where credit is due. I mean, it was definitely our faith in God. And here's the interesting thing. And I think that the big story that we have is there's hope, big hope, because we went from a terrible, terrible place to a wonderful place. But here's the interesting thing. When we decided to give it another try, things hadn't been reconciled. Things hadn't been fixed. Things weren't working properly. I mean, a lot of times you think, oh, okay, they worked it out. They got back together. No, this was an act of faith. And so I really, it's been encouraging to us, because I just think, wow, so much hope. I remember those feelings I had, those really hurt feelings, you know, and to be where I'm at today and to learn, like that Kaizen word, step by step, moving in the right direction, making better choices. That's exactly what we've done. And it's been an amazing journey of faith and reconciliation. And I want to encourage any listeners that I think hope is the biggest thing our story has to offer.
Yeah, hope is wonderful. And you need to understand that it takes willingness to keep that hope alive. So both people have to be willing to talk, willing to enter, even if it's not equitable amount of willingness in the beginning. But they need to go and get help where they both feel safe and understood. And the timing is optional. You know, we can move slowly, we can move quickly. It's okay. We're going to do this. We're going to do it together. And it is always about that willingness, because if you are willing, every healthy relationship of any kind, whether it's at work or at home, has three hallmarks, and there needs to be equality, reciprocity, and mutuality. And if both people are interested in equality, reciprocity, and mutuality, we can build it. But if you come into a situation where you find those three things are not available, there's very little to build on.
Well, Roberta, we just have a couple more minutes, but I wanted to touch a little bit on what your feelings, and is it something that you offer from the standpoint of premarital, where people come in and they get the counseling needed so that they don't, because I'm a big believer of education and preventative things rather than always having to wait until we've already screwed up.
yes, please. People ask me that so frequently, Alan, and the answer is I am so in favor of people getting premarital counseling before they move in or consider any kind of commitment. And, you know, I related to the ad that was on a little earlier, because I spent 30 years in education when I raised my children alone while I finished my PhD working full time. And my last position was 5 years as principal of a school for at-risk teenagers. And those kids had no idea of what relationship was. So they had no way to know how to do it. Well, if you had a background that wasn't even as severe as they had, maybe you had poor modeling in your home, or you didn't appreciate the way your parents related, definitely go get some help. And even if you had a great relationship, go get some help, because you two are two different humans. So yes, get help. You take your car to a mechanic when it breaks down, and I consider myself a life mechanic.
Mm-hmm. Well, so good. Roberta, if you had only one piece of advice to give to couples, what would it be?
Always believe behavior, not words.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. So Roberta, how can listeners that want more information, how can they get a hold of you? What is the best way? I'm assuming the book can be picked up anywhere, but if they want to get a hold of you as well, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best thing is to come on over to my website, transformingrelationship.com. You'll find everything about me there. You'll find what I offer. You'll find the podcast. You'll find my membership program where you can come and be in closer proximity to me if you're not ready to do the one-on-one or couples work right yet. But you can be part of my off social media discussion forum so you're safer. And that's at transformingrelationship.com, or go to YouTube, and my channel is called For Relationship Help, H-E-L-P.
I love it. And for everybody out there, if you're driving and you're listening to this, I realize you can't be writing it down, but if you go to the answersforthefamily.com site, we will make sure that we have all this information there for you to be able to get a hold of Roberta. Roberta, I just want to thank you so much. I really want to acknowledge for everything that you're doing. To me, there just isn't anything better than helping us strengthen our relationships with primarily family, but literally everybody that we are interacting with.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about these really important things and for the work you do too, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you, Alan and Lee.
All right. Now, for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we will be joined by Michael Matthews to discuss Thinner, Leaner, Stronger, The Simple Science of Building the Ultimate Female Body. We may have to have you come in and guest co-host again for this one. So, and please visit our archives of past shows at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe now through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and I may have even missed one. So there's so many ways now that you can listen, and if you pass the word, this is the type of thing that we want more positive things out there. When I talk about, you know, anxiety and things like that, that comes from all of the negativity, people with their agendas, you know, these are the type of shows that I think that we can all gain something that's going to be positive. We have great guests, and that's the focus, is we're going to bring people on that can help everybody. If you next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. So Lee, Ellen, thanks for joining. And again, Lee, if you can just share again, if somebody missed, share again how they can get in touch with you if they want to talk more about the identity theft.
Or talk about anything, if they have anything.
There you go.
We love to help.
Yeah, if you're having trouble with your dog digging in the yard, okay, give him a call.
Right. You can reach Ellen and I on Facebook, email, leewheeler24@hotmail.com. That's leewheeler24@hotmail.com, or text me, 714-465-0096.
I love it.
Thank you so much for having us today.
You're welcome.
It was great.
Thank you. And for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Thank you.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.